Hi, I'm Ebony, and I'm so happy to talk about my Motivation to Write Plus program, which will be launching this month. I am so excited. This is a program all about healing your life. I never thought that I would become a healer, and that's exactly what I am. 14 years ago, when I was literally like on the floor in tears, feeling depressed, couldn't even get up, could not even sit up because I was so devastated over a breakup. I never thought how that would just propel me on this journey of self-discovery, of self-development, of spiritual healing, of emotional healing, of physical healing. I mean, from that breakup, from that one single, what I thought was absolutely life-shattering breakup, I ended up taking Kabbalah courses, I ended up taking energy healing courses, I ended up meeting other healers and spiritual leaders and friends that just helped to surround me and uplift me and encourage me to be the healer that I am. And I think I've taken for granted how much of an impact all of those experiences and all of that knowledge has had on my life. Now that I'm thinking back on it, it just, once I began to heal areas of my life, myself physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that just freed up so much space for me to then start to pursue the things in my life that I wanted to pursue. I never thought 10 years ago, I just never even thought it was possible for me to buy and own my own home as a single Black woman. I just never thought that was possible. As a single Black woman who's a teacher, okay, I never thought it would be possible for me to buy and own my own house. But that's the power of healing your life. When you begin to heal yourself, again, those three pillars, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, you become so much more clear on what is possible. And you have the energy, because you've helped to heal your energy, you have the energy to then pursue those things that you've always wanted to pursue. You have the energy to be courageous. You have the energy to be confident. And this is what this program, Motivation to Write Plus, is all about. It is about rediscovering the energy that you've always had, but it might be clogged, it might be blocked, it might be buried, it might be closed off because of this, that, and the other, the trauma that we go through. But it's possible. The good news is that it's possible to heal. It's always possible to heal. And if you're already seeing a doctor for a certain medical condition, or you're seeing a psychotherapist, then this is going to boost the healing process for you even faster. So I encourage you to, if you haven't already been listening to my episodes on Mondays and Thursdays, because that's kind of a sneak peek of what this program is, and we're just barely in those episodes beginning to scratch the surface of what's possible for us. So be on the lookout. Motivation to Write Plus, coming this month. See you then. In the meantime, here is this week's interview on Motivation to Write.
Don't do something 70%, 80%. If you're going to do it, just do it. And if you don't know how it's going to look, don't think about it and just show up and do it anyway.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Katie Kanakas is an actress, author, musician, and poet. In 2005, she made her first television appearance. Since then, Katie has appeared in television series such as It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Law and Order SVU, and CSI New York Cold Case. Katie believes in the power of energy, self-care, and mindfulness. Her most recent poetry book, A Lover's Tale, is a full expression of her creative energy, zest for life, and love of art. Katie. I am so happy to have you, Katie Chinakas.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, because you are a, among many other things, you're an author and a women's empowerment coach. And I know you have a lot to say about just personal well-being, professional well-being, psychological well-being. I also saw on your website that you're a musician of
sorts.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I have a brand called The Sophisticated Psychos. It's a duo with Nicky Scorpio. He's amazing, singer-songwriter from the Bay Area. His inspirations are Tupac and Eminem. And if like you see him, he's a combination of them both. And people say, singing coaches say he sounds like, he writes like Sting, sounds like Peter Gabriel, sounds like Chris Martin. So he has a really eclectic voice.
Okay, so let's back up some, because when did this all start for you? This, how do you say, when you began to feel in touch with a power higher than yourself, like the whole of the frequencies in music and understanding how a certain number of frequencies can trigger healing. And like, when did all that happen for you?
Well, it all really started from a young age. I come from a big Greek background, so I was raised with the old calendar, new calendar, going to church, the priest, everyone singing in Greece. So the power of language and chants and the power of the words and just chanting, right? Yeah. And chants. And so I was connected on a meditative soul level through religion, but not just one slice of religion, knowing, understand the universal law of chants, sound of hymns, vibrations. And growing up Greek, I was into Greek mythology and Socrates and Plato, and The Republic is one of my favorite books in the world. And Plato talks about just and unjust and universal law in law of the court system and in law of governed laws. Is it just or unjust? And forgetting the emotional aspect of it, but getting down to the data and the facts. So I feel like when we quiet our monkey mind, the 60 to 70,000 thoughts we have, according to Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's a neuroscientist, which is brilliant to binge him on the YouTube, like amazing free content. Yeah. And on a psychological level, understanding that 90% of our thoughts are the same thoughts and most of them are negative. So I learned that later on. Like I had a sense and a knowing. I didn't pick up the language and the people that I know now and the people who are my friends now and that I've connected, but I was a seeker. And Socrates says the definition of a philosopher is a person who is a lover of wisdom, a seeker. And I felt like I've always felt like I'm like Socrates' spiritual, like younger sister. So it kind of happened through just, you know, my spirit and my being of who I am to be designed. And also my parents grew up, they were kids having kids. They were teenagers having my sister and me. And so they come from very humble beginnings. My dad's family immigrated from Greece. And so with the culture, but my mom and dad, they, you know, were working 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever. They were working. They came home to put food on the table, make our lunches and ship us off to school. And then they would be working. And we just had this independent time with one another. So I grew up very independent in a way too. So I think it really gave me the strong roots and the personal space to actually reflect and think and heal. And for me to really identify, like I need, and you have your left brain and your right brain, and I didn't have certain entrepreneurial skills, and I knew I had an intuitive hit that I knew that I needed to develop a business, those business skills on my own. And so I did it at a very young age. I just like knew it and did that.
Okay. That's amazing that it happened for you so young, in church. Right? I mean, that's where it started, the genesis of it. And then I love how you mentioned Dr. Joe Dispenza. There's this really great series he has. I saw it on Amazon Prime, and I think it's connected with this channel called the Gaia Channel.
Gaia. He has a bunch of shows on Gaia, yeah.
Yeah, about a meditation. It's a wonderful series on meditation, and he goes into how, like, the brain, the different brain waves, like, starts with alpha and it goes into beta. I don't remember all of it, but it was just, when I saw that, how he can show, like, scientifically, how your brain is working and moving through the various stages of meditation. I was fascinated.
Oh yeah. People need to understand and hear his story. And if he can do it in his story, and it's free on YouTube, there's like he like talks forever. But even Gaia, if people aren't familiar with Gaia, you can do like a 2 or a 30-day trial for free. So you can like binge watch a bunch of stuff on Gaia if you don't have a subscription.
Yeah. It's an amazing channel.
It really is. Yeah. And then also you were mentioning the Genesis and going to church and the musical. Well, I grew up going 45 minutes to St. Clair Shores to go to church. And so we would listen to Motown. I listened to the harmonies. That's where I learned harmonies and melodies and the language. And they were talking about love, and the music was different than what they say now. So I was able to pick up that vibe of love and My Girl and like all those beautiful songs. And then couple it with then growing up going to the underground rave scenes of EDM, of electronic dance music. Yeah. And it's really cool because I have both those solid pillars and foundations that are so completely different, but I've been able to bridge them together.
And I love it. Sounds like, just going back to the music part, like EDM is like an interrupter. It just kind of, you know, interrupts the status quo of your mind. And that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Sunlight is also very important, Katie. I'm glad you brought that up. I have the window open here, and I'm waiting for the sun to... Actually, it's really hot out here in the desert, so maybe I probably won't have the sun on me too much. But it's very... especially if you're feeling down, the sun is really powerful. Just to go outside, stand in the grass in your bare feet and then soak up the sun, it's amazing.
Yeah, a book I can recommend, it's called Clean by Alejandro Younger, and it's on audio for free on Overdrive app. You download the Overdrive app, you can download up to 30 audiobooks for free. If you prefer reading, you can download up to 30 ebooks for free. But he talks about everything we're talking about and gives the examples and the scientific reasons of why, and he's a cardiologist. He's amazing. He's healed so many people. Getting off prescription medicines, getting off anything you can think of. It's all toxicity, and it's your allergies. It's things that come onto the skin, puffiness, anything. It's your body like letting you know there's stuff happening inside, and you can clean, and there's a clean program. But I definitely would check out that book.
Yeah, thank you for that suggestion. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier when you were telling us about your awakening at such a young age. And you said that you knew even at that young age that there were things you needed to learn to become an entrepreneur. Like there was a lot to kind of take in. Was entrepreneurship like a goal of yours when you were a kid? Is that something you knew you wanted to do eventually? Because I know you've done a lot of things like acting and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have to talk about that in a minute. But what the macro of it for me was, I wanted to be taken as a serious businesswoman. And so I strived for so long to be taken as a serious businesswoman. Like, I mean, I remember in 2005 when I was in California in Beverly Hills and my friends were all on Molly and swimming in pools and like, you know, like they're like, you know, come from very wealthy backgrounds. And I'm like this girl from, you know, Detroit wanting to be taken seriously. I'm filling out my LLC form because I feel like if I do an LLC, I was so naive. I'm like, oh, if I do an LLC, then people will take me more seriously. Like having a doctorate or having a certificate or a degree that's going to make you like, quote unquote, smarter, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just an illusion. But I was so young, and in 2005, I did this LLC, which I ended up getting out of. Don't do it, people, because you have to pay $800 per year, because it was changed for me when I was doing all these movies at like Mel Gibson's firm. They had me change my LLC to an S Corp. And whether you make money or not, you have to pay the state of California $800 per year. So I had this going on for 10 years. So 10 times 800.
Oh my God.
Thank God I knew a really smart CPA. And anyone listening to this right now, you don't have to pay the fee, because there is a law that happened in another state where someone else like didn't make the revenue or whatever. And so they were able to dismantle and make that go away by sending sending one letter to the IRS. So you don't, if you didn't make certain amount of monies, you actually don't ever have to pay those. And then I just dissolve the S corp. Because another CPA told me, unless you're making $100,000, like say sole proprietor, don't do an LLC or an S corp or anything until you're making $100,000 or more. And that was Jack Black's CPA, and he's Jack Black's mother and father CPA. And Jack Black went on to having another CPA because he's making a lot of money. But circling back around to what we just talked about, when I was a kid, I had this knowing. I had this knowing. And so as a macro of wanting to be taken seriously as a businesswoman, my role model was Oprah. I saw Oprah and her grace, her elegance, what she was saying, how she shared, the empathetic and like the how endearing she was and the powerful woman she was and where she came from. And then she was on TV and she had the microphone and she was, you know, doing all these things. And she was someone that I really admired, someone I looked up to. So I wanted to be like a her or like a Madonna of someone who could like reinvent themselves. Because I've always been said, oh, you're a Renaissance woman. Oh, you're a chameleon. And I have, and I've done all these things, and I've been so interested in all of these things. So for me, the macro was, you know, serious businesswoman and someone like an Oprah, like was something I looked up to and like a Mariah Carey. So I wanted an empire. Like I wanted an empire, but I also needed, you know, eight legs or other people on the team to help build the empire, because I had such a hard time trying to do it all on my own, which shifts to confidence and shifts to me investing in myself, because I went out and I went around the world with multi-billionaires and millionaires and all these people. And it's like the really, really wealthy who have all this money. It's like, it's very specific of who they give money to. And then who they don't give money to and who they do give money to and how they will give you money. But that was against my ethics and my morals and my values to be hooking up with a guy or hooking up with someone to gain something in that kind of way. It crossed what I was going. And I'm like, if I did this step, if I were to marry someone, I had a lot of gentlemen callers who had homes and multiple, you know, homes around the country and their own private jets and everything's taken care of. That's me selling out my journey and my own life, I felt, because I felt like if I'm not 1,000%, like they don't have the turnkey to my heart, like I'm not going to go marry someone, like then get a divorce, like get a monetary gain, put myself and my family in a better situation. So I knew I was taking a longer road. And, you know, that's also limitations that I found that I learned and put on my own self, that that's when I had to start doing some internal work. But kind of circling back around, it was really important for me to be authentic and true to who I was. Even if I didn't understand who I was fully, I didn't, you know, I was kind of limited about certain things and choices that I made because I just didn't know myself very well. I was, you know, scared of my acting coach, Susan Batson, who's Oprah's acting coach, Juliette Binoche, Nicole Kidman for over 20 years now, intimacy. I was so scared of being vulnerable and having that intimacy because of that shield I put up when I was a kid. I put up the shield, this armor, like I can do it. I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. I can take it. Yeah, I can take it, but do I have to take it? So that's where I learned compassion and kindness. And like, I don't have to do everything all by myself. Mm-hmm. And dismantling like the trust issues I had was very hard. And you know, intimacy and having intimacy with colleagues and with myself to be able to trust myself, to really go those extra miles from within, from without, from within, to really, you know, be able to be a team player with other people. So that's a very long-winded conversation all over the place, but hopefully there's some nuggets in there.
Yeah, yeah, I love how you're saying that success, especially if you're thinking of becoming an entrepreneur, it's a lot easier and it just makes more sense if you have other people on board with you. To do it by yourself is just sometimes it's ridiculous, right? Of course, in order to have people on board, you have to be able to manage relationships, right? You have to be able to trust yourself first, and then to be able to extend that trust to other people, to have boundaries and all of that. It really comes so much. I was actually talking to a friend about this the other day, but so much of the challenges and the hardships and the lessons that we learn come through relationships. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about relationships of all kinds. Relationships with your higher self, relationships with your family, with your friends, with money, right? It's just amazing how we cannot escape relationships. There's so much to be learned in how we relate to people and our world.
Yeah, the thing is, everything that you're saying, it's like being sensitive and vulnerable. Like I just shared, I went such a long time with being who I am, being a positive voice, holding space, being independent, knowing my skills and my talent, having the confidence, running cross country, short-term, medium-term, long-term goals, having the foresight. Like I had certain pillars of foundation. I sought mentors when I was a teenager. Then when I went to California, I sought new mentors there. And then I outgrew the mentors in Michigan and I outgrew the mentors in California, traveled around the world. And now it's like I'm circling back around, you know, on the hunt for my new top five, right? And making sure that they're all, you know, succeeding and doing better than I'm doing. So what are you reading? Who are you listening to? Where are you going? What are you saying? What are you not doing? Like, so I can learn from them. Like if you're at the top of your top five, it's time to get a new top five, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing is, like I went on this journey of understanding morale, understanding ethics, understanding values, because we're taught certain things in the church. We're taught certain things. Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about, you know, our whole entire existence when we're born in the first like 7 to 8 years, it's all a hypnosis because you're being hypnotized by watching what mommy and daddy and what people do or whoever's around you. And that's how our brain starts to develop. But before that, everything's a hypnosis. So we're already preconditioned. They say like someone who's like a multi-billionaire, a child, like just drinks or doesn't do anything, he can just make $1 million like that because he was like hypnotized by his environment to know how to do that. However, people who grow up, you know, with like not a parent or there's drugs in the house or abuse or, you know, circumstances that are, you know, not so good that we all know about, like it's already hypnotized that you're never going to be enough, that you have to struggle. The myth of struggling, a lot of artists think they have to struggle, which is a total myth. Like you don't have to struggle. And I know that because I came from a place of knowing and not having that. However, I've met a lot of artist journey friends along my journey. I've met a lot of artist friends who are addicted to the struggle. It's an addiction. It's an addiction to the struggle. It's an acute awareness of energy of what we're connected to. Because when we're connected to something, not only physically, but emotionally, and we're either connected to our mother or father, and we're connected in a healthy way, or we have these unhealthy connections, but we're addicted to them. And once we are aware of that and we dismantle that, it dismantles a lot of the other areas that we're hooked into, right? It's a domino effect. And so, like on this journey of discovery of what I was just sharing, like I found out about misophonia and it's treatable and it's curable without medication. And people don't even know what that is. And then there's HSP, highly sensitive persons, 16 to 20% of the population are HSP. I'm HSP. Like a lot of these people think, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Well, we all have trauma. Gabor Mate, binged Gabor Mate. And he talks about the wisdom of trauma and talks about trauma and how we're all traumatized. So we're going around the world and, you know, we're on the journey of discovering who we are. And I was, like I said, being very vulnerable, of not knowing who I was and sharing that I didn't know who I was. So if I'm not knowing who I am, but I'm out here, blah, 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 but I can't imagine what other people don't know. Like we're all very confused. Like people, but once you know maybe you're a highly sensitive person, then you hold space for yourself. Oh, nothing's wrong with me. I'm a highly sensitive person. And then it's like an acceptance. It's like, oh, it's like, oh, a breath of fresh air. Like, let me take like create some space to know, like, this makes me sensitive. When I go to a noisy place, my autonomic nervous system starts freaking out, because the thing is, we have our heart, which I mentioned has over 40,000 neurons. And as human beings, we all have the heart. This number two thing that comes after our heart is our nervous system. So based on where your mother was while you were in prenatal, really starts, that's where it starts, where, you know, your heartbeat and your nervous system. And then people who are into like herbal Chinese medicine, doing the acupuncture to realign, you know, your nervous system. It's like resetting a car. It's like having a white canvas when, you know, or starting a new relationship or a new job or going to a new place. But, you know, it's having like rotors on a car, like the brakes, like, you know, they're making the noise. You need to have new brake pads. It's time to do a reset. And it, especially with what we put into our body, like get the chemicals out. There's so many, like do a reset. So always check in with self, you know, once a month, once a week, take a bath, essential oils, Epsom salt, Esther Hicks, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Gabor Mate, like feed the soul and shift the attention, because where attention goes, energy flows. So if we're always focused on 90% McDonald's, I mean, how much percent is left for something that's different, right? And it's not only we are what we eat what we are. So if we're craving these toxic foods and everything, it's like that's like who we are, you know. But the circling back around to, you know, understanding ourselves and HSP, then there's sensory processing disorder, you know, people who are very sensitive to lights and sound. And so understanding, like, you know, we're very resilient beings, but we're very sensitive. And, you know, a lot of people, we've been taught, no, 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 we've been domesticated. We're very primal beings, but we've been domesticated. We've been taught to get here at 9, be done at this time, eat at this time, eat this, don't do this. Like, we're so like, told what to do. And it's like, we need just to create the space for ourselves to understand ourselves and create space for other people that we think we already know, and leave a space of the unknown. Even if you know someone for 5 or 10 years, like show up and give space that maybe today you'll have a different conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's all of what you said was just really powerful. And I'm like trying to take notes and listen to you at the same time, because I feel like every other sentence, I'm like, there's like a golden nugget there. Katie, so you wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? That was like, you had this, you call it the macro vision when you were a kid. You wanted to be this serious businesswoman. Oprah was your inspiration. And you were
highly sensitive person, HSP.
Okay. So then how, because it seems like to have such a big goal to be this successful businesswoman, to have Oprah as like this vision, right? That would seem a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you learn how to take actionable steps toward accomplishing that goal?
It's a really great question. So basically, when I was a teenager, my motto, and I'm Greek, so I'm biased, but, and I had, you know, stickers everywhere. It said, just do it. So me, it's like all or nothing, yes or no. If you're going to, don't do something 70%, 80%. If you're going to do it, just do it. And if you don't know how it's going to look, don't think about it and just show up and do it anyway. Woody Allen, I don't like to reference him, but he does have a great quote that I'm going to fragment. And he says, I learned this years later, but I've always did this as a kid, that half the battle, more than half the battle, 90% is just showing up. We get in our head and we don't go, we have these limitations and we just don't show up. But when you show up, everything else falls into place. You meet people, they have an extra ticket, they have an extra meal, they offer you something, they invite you to something else, like you have a new connection. Like, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, there was a hair convention happening in Chicago at one of the biggest hair shows. And I was a teenager and I had hair past my crevice. And I'm like, I am a gorgeous, beautiful model. And I have the best hair out of like any other model who's going to be there. I need to be there. I was at the hair salon and in the local hair salon. having a manicure or pedicure or something. And I met this gay guy, and he was taught, that's how I knew about the convention, because he was talking about how he's going to this convention and he's doing the hair for these models. And I said, oh my God, that's so exciting. It sounds like really fun. He just said, well, I have a pass and I can give you a pass. Like, you're my assistant, and get you into the conference for free. So I don't have to pay to go. And I could be like, you know, his intern assistant, where he would just give me the pass. So I just, I'm like, okay, cool. We went independently. I got my ticket. I got to the plane. I'm like a teenager. I'm like 17 or something here. My mom and dad don't know. I'm just going on a plane with my own money. I get to the airport. I don't take a train because I don't know the train. It's like scary. I get into a car. I pay like, you know, $50 to $70 to like wherever I'm going to go. I get to where I'm going. I go to this 3-day hair convention. Day one, I'm walking around, seeing it all, taking it all in, enjoying it. And I'm just walking around and I'm swinging my hair around when they're wrapping up for the day at 5 o'clock. Luis Alvarez has a quaj and he's in Chardigan Falls, Ohio. And he ran up to me and he's like, oh my God. He's like, your hair, it's so gorgeous. Are you a model? I'm like, yes. He's like, who are you modeling with? I'm like, oh, I'm just here. I'm not modeling with anyone. He's like, are you available to be a model? And I'm like, well, what are the details? They're not going to touch my hair. They're not going to cut my hair. They're not going to dye my hair. I'm just going to be an updo model where they're not going to touch my hair. They love the length of my hair and they're going to do amazing things and pay me $500 a day. And I said, yes. And so the next morning I had to be there at 8 a.m. because I just showed up and I knew something was going to happen because I was open to the possibilities of the unknown, mm-hmm. which is my exciting favorite thing. And I showed up and not only did I make money and I was on a stage and I like everyone was taking photos of me and I was wearing a beautiful dress and they gave me like thousands of dollars worth of product. And TG, Tony and Guy were right next to us. So when it was done, there was all these products left over and we were able to take them. And I got like $3,000 worth of Tony and Guy product. So like, I mean, I really made out and I didn't have a hotel to stay at. I didn't know anyone at all. And when the guy gave me the pass, he gave me the pass and he was gone and I didn't see him again because he was busy working with wherever he was working with the other models. So mm-hmm. that's just one choice, you know, that I made. And those are the kind of choices I've made throughout my life. I just show up.
I love that story. You know what it reminded me of? I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but you would know. She writes all those TV series like Grey's Anatomy. Is it Shonda Rhimes? Sandra?
Oh, really? Okay, I know the name. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, cool. I've seen her name because she had a new show and I wanted to audition for it. Yes. I did audition for it, I think.
She wrote a book a few years ago. I think it's called A Year of Yes. Yes or something, where she just said, I'm just going to start saying yes to opportunities instead of just always shutting them down, right?
Yeah.
And I read that book and I was just so inspired and I started saying yes. I mean, it's just because that's really what it's all about, Katie, is just being aware of all the opportunities around you and taking a chance. And we're not talking about just being reckless. I mean, we're just really talking about being in tuned to what is happening and really being like divine inspiration and recognizing an opportunity when it comes knocking, because you never know what's going to happen. And it could be something so small, like accepting an invitation to a child's birthday party, because you don't know who's going to be at the birthday party, what you're going to overhear, what you're going to see. It's just amazing when you start opening yourself up, as you say, to possibilities.
Yeah. So two things. One, the yes. Okay. To if it attunes and aligns, like if you're like, oh, I want to go to New York Fashion Week, or I want to go to Paris Fashion Week. If you just, or anywhere, I want to go to this convention, just show up and go. And if it's like, if you can't even afford to like show up and go, just show up and you could maybe like, someone might have an extra ticket, or you might meet someone while grabbing a coffee and, you know, the security guard might just let you through. I mean, you know what I mean? Right. It's not like a big deal. Like, just show up. When you just show up and you make it happen. Also, when you're in the realm and the energy of the yes, because it attunes and aligns and it's good, it excites you because there's possibilities of where this journey could take you. Also be mindful, if you already are full on your commitments, what you say yes to, there's a domino effect. So what you say no to, there's also that domino effect. So if you're already fully committed with things, when you say yes to something that could actually take more of your energetic time and your focus, you're saying no to all the other things that you want to say yes to. So the intentional power of saying yes and then being aware of what to say no to, because then when you say no to certain things, you're keeping yeses open for other things that you want to be a part of. So make sure when you say yes, it's going to be for the domino effect is going to be for you. And when you say no, you're saying no because you're going to leave space, energetic white space on the canvas for more opportunities for you that are yes. Because sometimes I've learned along the way, I've said yes to some people. It was a one-time thing like, oh, hey, can you hook me up with this thing? Then I'm like, oh, I can hook you up with this person. Oh, it's for 14 days. I'm like, okay, cool. Then I thought, love. I'm helping out two friends. And then all of a sudden, this person takes off for 6 months to Hawaii and leaves her property with someone that I trusted. I'm like, the agreement was 14 days and now it's been 6 months. I'm like, after 2-3 months, I'm like, this has taken a life of its own, but still energetically and synergetically, I'm not a part of it, but I'm still feeling responsible because I made the initial introduction, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a really big awareness of when I want to do something to help a friend and then help someone else. And it's a good thing. Sometimes we don't know that they can take a life of their own. And so by saying yes, I was open to a bunch of the unknown thing and it didn't turn out pretty. And I learned a lesson from it for sure as a young adult. So I'm not taking it personal, but I definitely learned that lesson, you know?
Yeah, there certainly are, especially when you're young, I'll just speak for myself, especially when I was young, I found that a lot of the times when I said yes to things, it was because I wanted to be seen as just being a nice person. Like I was just saying yes because I wanted people to like me, right? Not necessarily yes because I really wanted to do it. Or I thought that if I do this, people are going to think kindly of me or whatever. As I grew older, I started learning, sounds like what you're like, you recognize your own boundaries, right? Your own values, your own boundaries. And you say yes to things that are going to, as you say, have a domino effect in the more positive direction than in the not so positive direction.
Yeah. Well, two things on that. One, people pleasing. So yeah. I have two short stories, but one story is Robin Graham. She's a branding specialist and strategic coach, and she's on my podcast. She's all over the place. I would definitely listen to it. But she talks about with like being a human being and your brand, like you wouldn't want to get into bed with everyone, right? You wouldn't want to go have coffee with everyone or have dinner with everyone. That applies to you as well. Like I was wanting everyone to like me, but I actually really don't want everyone to like me. I thought I want everyone to like me, but it's the same thing. Like I wouldn't want to get into bed with everyone. So that's like on a personal level of self-esteem and confidence, but also like for the brand, if it's like to find your niche and how do you do that? And it's so overwhelming. Well, you wouldn't want to get into bed with everyone. Like for your brand, you don't want to wake up and actually service everyone. Maybe this person's not my type, or that's not who I want to actually be getting into bed with. And that's not who I actually want to be servicing when I wake up and have this person a part of my energetic field. I want more of these kind of people. So the power of the no, or the power of people not tuning and vibrating and aligning to who we are, is actually a thank you. It's a gift, because once we get those no's out of the way and we see who we don't connect with and vibe with, like you and me, we're totally vibing. Like you're like, yeah, what up? We're going to like go out and like meet up and be friends and it's all good. And it's like, it's cool. It's like, that's cool. And we build on those. But the ones where it's like, nah, this isn't a good fit or whatever like that. It's actually a gift. That's a gift. But I didn't see that until later on because I was so insecure and I had to, you know, do my own self-discovery things that I did. But another short story is when I was a kid, knowing that I knew and having my fantasies and my illusions of the egoic mind of what I wanted to set out to do was anchors, you know, to lead me on the path, to give me a path to anchor into, but then being open to what happened along the journey, you know, it's life and being aware of those gifts. But what happened was after I knew everything, I wanted to then step out of what I already knew. And I went around the world and I talked to multi-billionaires, multi-millionaires, and I talked to bums, people on the street. Like, I mean, I talked to everyone in Italy and Prague, like everywhere. And I talked to a bunch of different people, and I was on a mission, and it went for almost 10 years, a decade. And I was like, what do I do to be successful? Jump? How high? Go left? Run? Do this? Do that? Jump through this hoop? 15 hoops. And I was just doing, I was just like ping ponging everything to quote unquote, to be successful. Right. And success is measured. And I lost myself in a labyrinth so much. It took such a long time for me to get back to me. And right now you can hear like I'm connected to me again, that source that I connected to when I was younger, but I chose, and I thought it was really brave and courageous to step into the unknown, to allow myself to lose myself so then I could let everything dismantle and then go on this labyrinth of a journey to then discover me again. But it took such a long time for me to like, quote unquote, grab my mojo again. Like I didn't know if it was, I was ever going to get it again. Like I was on the hunt and I was like stuck and in a rut, and I got depressed, and I just was just literally all over the place. And it was a journey, you know, of books and self-development and talking to more people. But the moral of the story is just one step at a time, one step that brings you joy, one step that brings you happiness. And so if you write down a joy journal and a bothersome journal, and you write down all the bothersomes every day or every other day, just write down all the bothersomes. Sometimes you have to write that first before you can fill up the cup. You have to empty the cup, and you want to get out all these aggravating things. And then there's this subtle energy. Once you like get out all the bothersome stuff, be aware. Once you get out all the bothersome stuff, there's this subtle shift in energy, where then something will pop up, a flower or a cup of coffee or something that brings you the joy. And then you go to the joy side, you write joy, and then you write down all the joys. Like health for me is always number one. My 92-year-old, my grandmother who I'm named after, you know, always number one in my health. And then it's like, it can be like a butterfly or just the sun or grass or toes in the sand, like anything that brings you joy. Like, you know, just the fantasy of Bali brings me such joy, you know? And I've had this connection to it. And getting winning awards and using my instrument to be funny, silly, wacky, and do voiceovers and, you know, make an impact and share and show up and, you know, talk. I love talking. And, you know, it's really important to, you know, socialize. They say people who are more sociable live longer. The people who are isolated and, you know, just, you know, say to themselves, which is fine. I love silence. I love solitude. I'm an ambivert, so I'm very extroverted as I am now. But just as much as I'm this, I was so much inside as an introvert to be able to get so still and so quiet with who I am, to be able to, you know, bring all this new chi, all this beautiful, authentic, pure energy to share, because what we share and what we send is the social responsibility of what we're sharing with one another, because we inspire people. It goes into our hippocampus, it goes into our amygdala, to our brain waves, right? And it's an exchange of energy that we don't see. I guess some people see energy, I don't, but that we don't see, but that we feel, right? And then we go on our journeys, and that's how we evolve, by sharing this information with one another.
I was talking to a meditation teacher a few weeks ago, and he was saying that we're always exchanging information with people, with nature. Like we, how did he say? We inhale the air that the trees make. Like we're always exchanging information with trees, with plants, because of how a photosynthesis works. I don't know all the science behind it, right? But they make oxygen, we take in oxygen, however that works. But there's always this exchange. And I remember going back to your Oprah, I think she says you have to be responsible for the energy that you bring people. I mean, it's so, people think that communication is just verbal or sometimes body language, but there's this energetic communication that starts even before you say something, before you even see someone, right? You can, the energy is there, and it's just so important that you're in tuned with yourself energetically. I know for myself, when you talked about after you get rid of all of the, like the bothersome energy, like what's left, that's like the good stuff that's left on the right. But for myself, when I feel overwhelmed or I feel frustrated or stressed, I've learned to just like literally sit with that and just feel it exit through my body. Just like, where is it located in my body? Is it in my chest? Is it in my legs? A lot of times it's in my legs. And just have envisioned energy coming from the earth, flushing out that energy through my feet, usually is where it goes. And it's just so powerful because once that leaves, what am I left with? It's just that stillness.
So love what you're saying. A couple of things. One, one of my shamans shared with me, we inhale purity, we exhale toxicity. We inhale purity, we exhale toxicity. Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F, just type in Wim Hof. He has a 10-minute meditation and it's just, he leads you through it. It's just 10 minutes and it gets you so in your body. It's just so amazing. And you're doing, and you're breathing, and you're getting so in your body where it's going to remove what you're talking about, because we have 12 main chakras, right? 7 main chakras in our body. 8th and 9th chakra is our, is 4 to 8 inches outside of our body. It's our auric field. When people say they see auras, I don't, but it's like a vibe when you're walking past and you're like, you can, you have an intuitive hip, like, I don't feel safe. Something feels danger. Like you have that sense. Like you said, before you see it, you have a feeling because it's an energy that's coming around and you're attuned to it. Some people are grasped to it. Some people are numb to it because they're dismantled by the trauma and by numbness and being taught not to feel and to hide and not be open with their feelings. So once you start opening up your feelings, it's like an ocean wave. Whoa. And then, you know, it becomes a practice of a balance, but, with the over 40,000 neurons in our heart, you know, we feel a vibe, the auric field, the energy outside of us before we even see the person, right? And what you were saying about your legs, what I was saying is 12 main chakras, and then we have 7 in our body, and you were like, you are attuned, you're like, oh, okay, like it's in my leg. So that one of the best things you can do is go outside barefoot and just put your feet planted on the grass or on the cement to touch the ground, to be grounded. And I don't know about you, I don't do it all the time, but I've taken trees and just like felt like Curious George. Just one time I did Vipassana, a 10-day silent meditation. It's free. They're all around the world. It's amazing. And they put you up and everything, food. And it's a 10-day silent meditation. There's no talking for 10 days. I could not wait to go shut up. It was amazing. And then after the 10th day when you could talk, I didn't talk for like 4 to 6 hours because I just wanted to just be so sensitive and so delicate, like a beautiful flower, and just be in the awareness of not blah, blah, blah. And then after that, I wasn't on social media on Instagram for 9 months and I didn't miss it one time. And it was so awesome because I was so present. Like my mom came and picked me up. And before in my thoughts would be like, oh God, how annoying, blah, blah, blah. She's saying this. But actually what was happening was I was half listening. I was doing something else and not really fully giving her my attention. And since I wasn't on the Instagram and I was fully present with my mom, I held space and I saw how sweet she was. And I saw how, I laughed at some of the things, but I didn't fully appreciate her because I took advantage like, oh, it's my mom, or she's always like, blah, 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 you know, it's your mom or whatever. But being so in that present moment was like really beautiful. And so that was really cool. But like hugging a tree, putting your toes in the sand, or right even now, like whoever's tuning in, like if we just take the awareness and you think about your feet, and you just have an awareness of your feet, you ground. Yeah. You ground. And that's like a practice. If you feel it right away, cool. If not, it says a lot about who you are and where you are too. And that's a practice just to kind of remember just, hey, my feet. Especially if you're walking into a meeting and you're nervous or you're scared, stand with your feet on the ground. Just put attention to your feet so you know you're grounded, right?
Yeah. That's it really is a powerful exercise, or just sometimes just to stand up wherever you are, stand up and like literally just kind of like jump and land on your feet just to kind of feel the groundedness. It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe we're almost out of time, Katie. So you have to tell us a little bit about your book.
Yeah, sure. It's called A Lover's Fairy Tale. It's available on Barnes & Noble's, Amazon. Leave a review. It has 11 pieces in it, and it's coupled with beautiful artwork by my legendary photographer friend, Robert Sturman. That's my yaya and me. It's her 50-year anniversary of coming to America from Chios, Greece.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And so Polaroid discontinued the original Polaroid in 2001. And I was his muse, and we did a series together. During the time that I was traveling around the world and going to some of these places that are in the book, so I thought it was very apropos, art on art on art, like world travels, language, poetry, with the beautiful photos that we have taken that look like paintings, to couple them. I asked his permission. He said yes. And I created a loversfairytale.com. And then you can go put in your email, and I send you an automation of a playlist of the spoken word music videos that I self-produced, self-invested, directed, shot, like all of it. And so there, you can literally read the poems, but then you can see visceral, you know, videos of some of the pieces. Of they're like 9 out of the 11 pieces I did music videos. Actually, I did them to all, but to the editor lost footage of 2 of them, which was horrible. So, but that's a learning lesson as a producer in another story. But also you can, like, you know, like poetry and coffee. So I have coffee mugs with the images on them that you can get on my website, loversfairytale.com, or just my website, chinakas.com. Yeah, definitely leave a review, pick up the book. I would definitely like hold the book. You can get it on Kindle, but something about like holding the book says a lot. And then you can like a coffee table book, you can share it with friends and stuff, but it's child friendly as well. And, you know, Britney Spears is coming out and speaking after being silent for so long. And she was my girl growing up. It's like her first song, like, you know, show me the sign. It's like, yeah, I see all the signs. Cause that's, I was telling you earlier, I'm very in tune with like alignment and signs and colors. And it's like, show me, I see the sign. I see that. And then I watched her journey along the way, and I've done my journey. And now she's coming out and speaking out, and she's going to revolutionize, I think, a lot of families from the, you know, dysfunction of uncomfortable silence and families allowing the abuse to go on, and how families abuse one another, and how some families are classy or sophisticated and they're not blah, outraging and saying what's going on. And they allow these things because they were conditioned or they're scared, or, you know, CPS, Child Protective Services, is underfunded. And I don't have kids yet, God willing, but if you look at all of the forums online, so many families, there's so many kids who are abused and mentally abused, and they're suffering, like you said, energy, the mental stuff, the emotions that we don't see, unless at the time CPS comes over and there's like prostitution happening, or there's like a kid with a cracked skull, open, bleeding. The last thing they want to do, the very last thing CPS wants to do, is to remove a child and break up a family. And I totally understand that. However, we are children, and we're taught to color. We're taught to love rainbows and angels and unicorns and have fantasies and fairy tales. And then you're children, and you're supposed to do all these things. And these are innocent children, and we're all children of God. We're all children in this universe, on this planet. We're all children. And then we grow up and we become these adults, and the adults get their fires taken out. The adults lose that fire because they're conditioned by the news, brainwashed by society and government. And, you know, the children weren't protected in the homes. And so then adults, they go and they do these horrific things that are happening in the world. But look what happened when they were kids and they were innocent. They weren't protected. And now the adults are going around doing what they're doing. And then people are pointing fingers on the adults. It's like, the adults aren't the issue as well. It's like, we need to change these societal rules within government to really protect people and, you know, create, you know, systems where children, you know, aren't locked up and put away, but they go and they're protected in a sanctuary with people who are like us, healers, who know about things, who can, you know, cultivate the nourishment that maybe it's the female identity who will be able to do this, you know, to implement the fairy tales back in. So it was really important for me to share my whimsical experiences on, you know, fairy tale and illusion and fantasy, not only for children, but for adults, because a lot of times we're burnt out and we're told not to dream. So this very first self-published book is the permission to, you know, be in a fantasy land and to remember to play and have fun and to explore those sides of us.
Wow, that's beautiful. The images you showed me were beautiful. So yes, thank you so much for sharing that. That's lovely. Katie, tell us where we can find you.
My pleasure. In the show notes, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah.
The Sophisticated Psychos on YouTube. Watch all our music videos. We have Couples Therapy, season 1, 2, and 3. Season 1 and 2 are out. We just won over 15 awards for Best Web Series. I won Best Director. I won Best Actor. So we produced it through my production company, The Sophisticated Psychos. So, video content you can see. Also music videos. We're streaming on all platforms. And then I think like SoundCloud, you can download it for free. So if you're not on a platform to stream, you can still download it and get it. And then, if you want to connect with me, definitely you can email me at imaginekatie@gmail.com. If there's something specific, if you want to hear more of my voice and more things that I talk about on my podcast, She's All Over the Place podcast, definitely tune in. We have 3 full seasons that are very impactful, positive, that add a lot of value. And I would love to, have you there. And those are some of the, platforms and places you can find me.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Aww. I'm going to stop recording, but I'm just going to chat with you for a moment.
Thank you,
Katie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Katie obviously knows a lot about that industry, not only the entertainment industry, but the self-development, self-care industry. A great resource for anything you want to know about energy, the healing power of music, healing, the healing power of nature. She's just a wonderful person to know. So if you would like to learn more about Katie and her film and her music and her book, then please visit her website and reach out and connect. In the meantime, you can also visit zazo.com and sign up for my newsletter. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter at Ebony Haywood, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Motivation to Write. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing more with you about the healing power of energy and the power we have to heal ourselves and our own lives on Motivation to Write Plus, which will be launching this month. So be on the lookout for that. And I am so excited to take you on this journey with me. Thank you so much. And I will see you next week when I talk to another fabulous guest, unless you tune in tomorrow for my Motivation of the Week or Inspiration of the Week. Until then, have a great one. Bye-bye.